It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Let's imagine the future for just a minute. We've elected our first AI president, and Google has just bought the naming rights to the moon. How are you going to buy tickets to get there for the weekend? Now, I don't mean how are you going to afford it. I mean, literally, how are you going to buy those tickets? With dollars? With Earthcoin? Some yet-to-be-invented virtual currency? Well, a new documentary called The Future of Money explores what buying stuff could look like in the real world. And it might not be what you think. It's all part of a new documentary series called What Happens Next from our friends at Retro Report and Quartz. David Birch is author of the new book, Before Babylon, Beyond Bitcoin. And he says the future of money is that it'll be closely tied to the values of the people spending it.
I think the idea that we belong to one community and therefore we have one kind of money that serves that community, that's not really where we're headed. So you could imagine, why does California have the same money as West Virginia? They have completely different economies, completely different economic circumstances. You might want to have one set of interest rates in one place and one in another. And then you begin to think about the other kinds of communities people feel they belong to. You know, you could imagine, and I've heard other people talk about this, a global electronic Islamic e-dinar that's not an interest-bearing currency. And, you know, there's lots of reasons why billions of people might want to use that, and so on and so forth. So the technology allows incredible experimentation. People will experiment, and they will create lots of different kinds of money.
One of the points that this documentary that you appeared in Retro Report on the future of money is how they go to Yap Island in the South Pacific, home of these famous huge stone coins, which weren't traded like coins in your pocket. That would never work. But really operated on the idea that everyone in the village knew the story of the coin, everyone in the village knew why the coin belonged to you and not to me, and they found out if you gave it to me and why. How are those things similar?
I mean, in that sense, money is a primitive form of memory. But the reason why I think the future is going to be different, and the reason why I'm thinking about the community side of things, is those are dumb kinds of money. Right? The rock. The rock doesn't remember where it's been. You have to remember where the rock's been. The rock doesn't remember. Dollar bills don't know where they've been. They don't know who they belong to. They don't know what they were doing. But when you start talking about things like bitcoins and cryptocurrencies, these things are software. And you can think of them as an interesting new form of computer. You can turn dumb money into smart money because it can run software. So you can have interesting new versions of money that carry with them their communities' goals, desires, values, and so on and so forth.
There's a concept that drives these cryptocurrencies called the blockchain. What is the blockchain and how does it help define the new concept of money that you're talking about?
If I have something that's just bits on my computer and I give you a copy of it, right, like a photo, I have a photo of me and I send you the photo. Now we both have copies of the photo. And that's fine when it's a photo, but actually it's not so good when it's money or concert tickets or, you know, the deeds to some property or whatever. So what you want is a system that means you can't just give the same bits to person after person after person after person. And so what the blockchain does through some very clever and very innovative use of cryptography, when I give my concert tickets to you, we tell everyone in the system that I gave those tickets to you, and then the system does these computations, which mean that somebody else can't come in and then just take a copy of the tickets themselves. We have a collective memory, and that collective memory remembers who has what bits. In terms of economic efficiency, it's not obvious that the blockchain is the best way of doing things. But it's attractive to some people because it doesn't require you to trust, you know, the government or some other third party to do this for you. I'm not absolutely convinced that Bitcoin is the final leaf on the evolutionary tree.
Dave Birch is author of the new book, Before Babylon, Beyond Bitcoin. Dave, thanks so much.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.